Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and with the Lord's help, we'll conclude a message I've been sharing this week with Jesus in a storm. And we've been looking at a simple and familiar gospel story of the events that occurred to Jesus and his disciples recorded in Mark the 4th chapter, Matthew the 8th chapter, and the 8th chapter of Luke as well, of a storm that arose quickly as they were traveling over to the opposite side after a day of Jesus had been teaching and he was tired and fell asleep, and a great storm arose. And it not only when you it's actually in Mark that it says at even they decided, in other words, it was dark, it was evening, which is probably even more terrifying to have a storm of that dimension arise. And they were in great peril, and they called out to the Lord, and Jesus rose and he said, "Peace, be still." And he's the same Jesus today that will speak peace to the storms of life that we go through. And we don't have to be afraid. He rebuked them and he said, you know, where is your faith? Why are you so fearful? And so what are the lessons that we can learn? Well, first of all, we have to understand we are on a journey. They embarked in a ship with Jesus and we're on a journey in life. And one thing that's very evident, the presence of Jesus on board is no guarantee of perpetual calm. Think about that. The devil always tried to destroy Jesus. He thought his ultimate victory was when his death was accomplished on the cross, except he didn't realize the great mistake that he had made. He tried even before Jesus was born. He tried to corrupt the human genome, as we can see in Genesis, the 6th chapter. And when he was actually born, remember, Herod had all the young boys under 2 years of age killed, and the Holy Family escaped to Egypt. He never ceased in his attempts to destroy, and of course, this is probably another attempt to destroy Jesus, but of course, anyone who wants to hang out with Jesus, he's more than happy to accomplish their demise as well. Well, it's the same with us. One might think that having the presence of Jesus in our life would make life just a bed of roses, but that is certainly not the case. And anyone who presents salvation as being that is really misrepresenting the Christian life. It is one of warfare. There is a time when we will enjoy amazing peace, we'll be free from the trials and the pain and the sorrows and the tears of this life. But for now, we will have tribulation. This scripture example we're looking at shows that even for those who were closest to Jesus, they did not escape trials that even threatened their very life. And we also have to understand the presence of Jesus in our hearts surely rouses the devil. First of all, he does everything he can to prevent us from being saved. And then when we are saved, then he does all that he can to make us turn away from the Lord, to invalidate our Christian testimony, to go back into the world. He does everything he can. For those who are that committed, then he'll come with depression and discouragement and a loss of joy and fear and all kinds of things. If the presence of the Lord in our lives rouses the devil, as we've shared this week, the reason that storm was so fierce, we can suspect, is that the devil was trying to get rid of Jesus. But also, his presence in our lives rouses the devil, and we have to remember that his presence also brings the calm. Why? Because Jesus has greater authority. Greater is he, beloved, brother and sister, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. He may be called the prince of the power of the air, the prince of darkness, the god of this world, but his power has been stripped for him. Oh, he's still alive and active, but nonetheless, a time is coming. His position has been robbed from him. Jesus, the perfect man, not only guaranteed and secured our salvation, but he triumphed over principalities and powers. He took the keys of death and of hell. He made an open show of them, if you will. He led captivity captive and arose to be seated at the right hand of our Father, his Father and our Father. And he is ruling and reigning until that moment in time, that glorious moment when the Father turns to Jesus and says, "Son, go back and get my family." Hallelujah. What a glorious day that will be. But just, you know, if you're going through a trial and a battle and a storm right now, know if the devil has been aroused, and sometimes, you know, it's when we're trying our hardest, we're doing our utmost for the Lord, that the enemy does everything he can to hinder, to prevent, to discourage us. But we have to remember the one who is with us. He has the greater authority, and he's given to us power and authority over all work of the enemy. And so it is in our best interest if we learn the lessons that we can see illustrated for us in Scripture, and also take that authority that he has given us. You see, at that point in their lives, Jesus was just teaching them about the authority that he had. And then he gave them that kind of authority. They came back rejoicing that the devils were subject to them. Isn't that true? But at that point, they were just learning who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey him? They were experienced fishermen. They were not men of cringing spirit that would just, you know, get upset at a little storm, because, you know, the Lake of Galilee was, it was not an unusual thing for this to happen, but the dimension, the ferocity of it was so great that there was definitely a satanic element in it. So Jesus will intervene, and he's not going to let your ship go down, beloved. He is with you, but we must not expect. You see, that's the problem. When a problem arises, when a storm arises, we cannot be like the disciples and say, "Well, don't you care, Lord?" They were bringing an indictment against him. That's not true. You see, that's why we go through the trials, why we go through the battles. It's a revelation. Storms are a revelation of God in our life as well as our own spiritual condition. How do we respond? How do we react? And of course, another lesson, the arrival of a storm doesn't mean that Jesus has left us. He didn't stand up and jump overboard and start swimming toward shore. He didn't leave them alone. Nope. We mustn't think that Jesus has left us because the elements roar and the deep waters threaten to swallow us up. There's a beautiful passage in Psalms, the 32nd Psalm, verse 6, that says, "For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee, in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him." And I'll just have to go a little bit further. Verse 7 says, "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." And you see, as I've shared, the purpose is for the Lord to increase our relationship and our understanding, our intimacy with the Lord. Because right at the end of verse 7 that I just shared with you, "Thou art my hiding place," the psalmist is saying, David is saying, "Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." Right then, there's an interaction with God Almighty. There's a prophetic word. Verse 8, this isn't David speaking, it's the Lord. And he says, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." That's a word to some of you listening right now. He is going to direct you. He's going to help you to make right decisions and lead us in a plain path because of our enemies. So let us, therefore, brother and sister, trust him in the darkness of evening. They were making that trip at night, and we must, just as they learned, we must know that he will bring us to the promised shore of heaven's security. Our life is a journey, beloved, and we cannot lose faith and patience if he seems calmly indifferent. I mean, all the storms that were occurring and the waves that were rocking that boat, he didn't wake up until he heard their cry. And he allows the storms in our lives so that we, our faith in him and our trust in him can be greatly increased and solidified, so that we know that we will know there comes a time in our life that we can literally count it all joy when we go through diverse temptations and trials and testings, because we know our God will make a way of escape. In a sense, naturally, when we think of it, we're worse off than the disciples. They at least had Jesus. They could see Jesus. But, beloved, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have believed." We need to trust God in our afflictions. He cares for us. In 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verse 7, it says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." He does care. We may not understand his silence, his apparent lack of action in our behalf, in our situation, but we will someday. So be patient. And remember, beloved, in closing, Jesus' destiny is bound up with yours. If your ship sinks, he's going to go down with it, and that will never happen. And beloved, also, let's pray for one another. We're all in the same boat. Let me close with a beautiful scripture found in Isaiah 54:4, "Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame." Verse 17, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise up against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." Praise God. Well, I must bring this broadcast to a close. I thank you for joining me. I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. I love you. I thank you for joining me today, and know that I pray for you every day. Thank you. I love you. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,